Today we're going to be reading from 1 Corinthians 2, verse 6 to 12. We do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, but not the wisdom of this age or the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. No, we declare God's wisdom, a mystery that has been hidden and that God destined for our glory before time began. None of the rulers of this age understood it, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. However, as it is written, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, what no human mind is conceived, the things that God has prepared for those who love him, these are the things that God has revealed to us by his Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. What we have received is not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so we can understand what he has freely given us.
Well, it's good to be here, everybody. Now, as I start, I decided that it's probably good that I put my glasses on because obviously they make me look more intelligent, right? And today I want to be sharing with you about a letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to a group of people who like to think that they looked pretty intelligent. So, Paul wrote a letter to a place called Corinth. Now, Corinth was an interesting place, guys. The people there loved art. They loved culture. They loved philosophy. That just means they loved learning things and filling their heads with all the latest ideas. Now, I don't know about you, but I know my kids always nagging me, Mum, please get us to school early. We really want to learn more so we can have deep conversations tonight at dinner. It happens, right? Well, the church in Corinth was all about knowledge. They had a reputation for it. They were very proud of it. They were pretty impressed with themselves. Now, wisdom and knowledge, wisdom, being wise kids, and knowing things is good, right? So I want to give you an example. I'm going to need a volunteer. Who can I pick? Who looks very wise and intelligent? Lily, you look super wise. Come over here. I have a table full of goodies to show you guys during the day today. Under this cloth here, Lily, I have got, ready? Voila! It's my toaster. It's pretty good, eh? I brought this home. But you know what? This morning, Lily, I was having breakfast and my toast got stuck in the toaster here. So I have two things here and I want you to imagine that we could get the toast out. What should we use, do you think? Which one would best work to get the toast out? This one here. It was a bold choice. But we're going to give you a lollipop for being my helper, and we're going to have a little talk about safety after the service, okay? So go and sit down. Okay, it has saved my life many times to know, guys, this is for you, Lily, that electricity goes through metal. And if I'm holding a metal knife and put it in a toaster, it's a bad idea, kids. Don't do this at home. So, knowledge is good, right? Knowledge is great. And knowing things about God is just fantastic too. But sometimes, guys, having a bit of knowledge can make us get, and I was dying to use this, a big head, okay? It can make us start to think that we know everything. Now, I'm sure this isn't you, kids, but I've actually heard of kids out there who never want their parents' help with anything. They don't need it. Go away! Because it turns out they actually know everything themselves. I've actually heard this is sometimes true of husbands, wives. Could be myth. You see, the problem, guys, with knowledge, with knowing things, is that we can start to believe that we're all right all by ourselves, that we don't need anyone, even God. It's kind of like we're putting a crown on our own head and making ourselves the boss. And we're not listening to anyone else. But you know what? The passage that Liv read out beautifully for us tells us that there are some things, some mysteries, some puzzles that no matter how smart we are, we're not going to understand by ourselves. So we can't show off about them. And can I tell you that how to have a real relationship with God is one of those things. Paul even says in that passage we read, that if you could have understood it by just being smart, if you could have understood all about Jesus just by reading books and, you know, going to the library and coming to church even, then the people who were around when Jesus lived would have got it. But they didn't get it, and they nailed him on a cross. You see, you could sit in this church till you're a wrinkly, wrinkly old lady or an old man. No one's there yet. You could sit there till then and still not get it, still not have your heart and your life changed by Jesus. See, that's why Paul said to the Corinthians in that passage, I'm not going to use fancy words and big smart language when I tell you all about Jesus, because I don't want you to be just convinced by me. I want you to be convinced by God, because you've met him and he's changed your life. See, the Corinthians, you have to excuse me, I've got microphone here. You see, the Corinthians thought that they understood everything. They talked about God all the time, blah, 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 God, blah, 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 God, blah, 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 but it was just talk. You see, I want you to think, I know this might shock you, but I'm not actually the smartest person that I know. And I imagine that you're probably not the smartest person that you know either, no offence. But if we could understand everything there was to know about God all by ourselves, then he wouldn't be a very big God, would he? I don't think that's something that we like to hear, guys. We don't like to think that we don't understand things, that we're not the boss. In our house, we have fights to be the boss over little plastic things like this. My goodness, we like to be in charge of everything. And even when it comes to God, we like to think, just like the Corinthians did, that we understand it all. But we don't. We don't. We're not in charge. You see, Paul tells us that the only person who understands what's deep in us, all those secrets and things that we don't share with everybody, the only person who understands that down here is us. And in the same way, the only person who understands what's in God's heart, what's on his mind, what his plan for you is, how he feels about you, is God. And that's God's Spirit. So if we can't understand God by what Jesus did and just by getting lots of information, then how do we get to know God? How do we understand? Well, I would suggest that firstly, we have to stop acting like we know everything. And we have to stop imagining we can explain God away ourselves. Let me explain what I mean. I have got this bat here. This is a bat from home. Actually, it's Cooper's bat, but I'd like to say that I have held it and I have watched cricket on TV. And I actually have been to a 2020 once or twice, but I want you to imagine that I went down to the cricket nets outside the SCG before the next test match, and I went up to the Australian cricket captain and said, Hey, Smithy, or Smithy replacement. Hey, Smithy. Hey, Smithy, how about I show you a few shots that you might want to try out there on the pitch? What do you reckon? Yeah? I think I would be very embarrassed to do that because he is the expert, not me. I'm no expert. I'm not the expert at all. But sometimes, guys, we approach God the same way. We actually say to God, God would think this, and God's like this, God is that, but we don't ask him. We don't find out what he has to say. Do you know, that's what being arrogant is, guys, thinking that we know better than somebody else, better than God. And we'll never find the truth if that's what we're doing, just using the ideas in our own head. So firstly, if we want a relationship with God, we need to stop being know-it-alls. I wonder, have you ever played the game Celebrity Head? Yeah? It's the game where you put on a headband and it has the name of an animal or an object or a person on it, and then you have to ask questions to find out who you are on your name tag. Well, I'm really terrible at it. I ask a million questions. I can't play 20. It has to be 50, 20 questions. But if you have ever played with a three-year-old, you will know that there's actually not a lot of guessing involved in that game. You see, you go to put the headband on and you say, am I an animal? You're a cat. No, hang on, just wait a second. You're Michael Jackson. Over and over, they just tell you straight away what you are. And you know what? I think God is kind of like a three-year-old playing Celebrity Head sometimes. He really wants us to know him. It's me. It's me. It's God. He knows every part of us. He knows the wonderful things about you. He also knows the things that we're not proud of, the things that we don't want anyone else to know. And he wants us to know him. He wants us to know everything about him. And he does that through his Holy Spirit. Remember, the Holy Spirit's the only one who knows what's deep in God's heart as well. You see, the Holy Spirit is kind of like, I bought some from home in case you didn't have any at your house, God goggles. The Holy Spirit is kind of like God goggles. He helps us to see things about God that we wouldn't understand by ourselves. You see, Paul tells us that the person who doesn't have the Spirit of God actually hears stuff I'm talking about right now and goes, blah, blah, whatever, rubbish. I mean, I kind of get it, don't you? Who could have imagined that the God of the universe would have become a little baby with the soft spot on his head that needed to be protected? The God of the universe? But he did. Who could have imagined that God could have been lonely? Who could have imagined that God would have had no home? Who could have imagined that he would have had friends turn his back on them, on him? But it happened. Who could have imagined, this is the biggest, that God would let himself get nailed to a cross and stay there when he could have jumped off like Superman, guys? But he did it. And he did it for us, he tells us in the Bible. He did it to take the punishment that we deserve for the things that we do, that we're not proud of. The times that we hurt people, and the times that we've ignored or turned our back on or even shaken our fist at the one who loves us even more than we could imagine. You know, if you do want knowledge, knowledge is good, remember, there's tons of evidence and tons of proof to show that Jesus really was a real person. Jesus lived and did things that people at the time could not explain. They were remarkable. There's tons of evidence to say that he did die on a cross. And there's evidence to say that hundreds of people reported seeing him after he was killed on that cross and buried, reported seeing him alive. Now, that's a lot of evidence. But overall, the whole plan just doesn't make sense, really, does it? You wouldn't make a story like that up, would you? It doesn't make sense unless you're looking through God goggles. Unless you're looking through the Holy Spirit. You see, the Holy Spirit, I want to show you, let me give you an example of what I mean. Have a look at the picture up on the screen. Now, you might see an old lady with a big nose and a pointy out chin sticking out there. And when I looked at this picture, I actually looked at it for ages because someone said to me that there is another picture in there that you can see if you look hard. And I looked and looked for ages, but I couldn't see it until somebody actually showed me how to look at it differently. So if you actually look, you might see the old person with the pointy chin down the bottom and wearing, now all I can see is the other one. But if you actually look, the black part up the top is a hat with a feather on it, and she has curly hair at the back, and she's looking backwards. You just see her eyelashes. It's a young woman as well. You see, in the end, it's kind of what the Holy Spirit does for us. When we stop thinking that we know it all, when we're humble, and when we ask him, he'll show us what's really there, what's really in God's heart. And guys, I want to say that instead of crazy talk, I think that you're going to find a God who loves you and a God who will go as far as he has to reach you. See, looking through God goggles, the whole world changes. That game we played with Mark, which was awesome, we asked the question, when you daydream, what do you imagine? And we got answers like winning the lotto and going on holidays and clouds. People dream of clouds? Who knew? Things you can't even hold on to. But I want to say to you guys that there is so much more than that. Do you know being happy with a holiday or a car or a new house is kind of like going, oh, look, I got this stick for Christmas. Can you believe it? How good are my parents? They gave me this. I can't wait to unwrap it. Imagine settling for this when we act, there's so many better things that we could have. But that's what settling for some of the stuff this life has to offer is, thinking that'll make you happy. It's like going, woo, got a stick. Can't wait. Remember, Paul said to us that no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has even imagined what God has planned for those who love him. Who could have imagined that God would go so far to bring us home? You know, our life does change, and I know myself that our life changes forever when we meet Jesus. Things might be hard, but we find hope, we find forgiveness, we find fresh starts, we find genuine peace, and we find so much more. You see, the world that we live in is kind of like this. See this? It's a beautiful jewel, but it's a real mess, isn't it? It's kind of the way the world is at the moment. We have things that make us sad. We have anger. We have fighting. We have conflict. We have war. We have bullies. We have a whole lot of stuff that's not the way the world's meant to be. But one day, it'll all be different. One day, it'll be beautiful. One day, it'll be perfect. One day, there'll be no more sadness or sickness, no pain, no struggling, no always feeling empty. One day there will be all of that. But to get that, to see that perfect place, we need to have a relationship with God. And to do that, we need to do two things. We need to stop thinking we know it all. We need to admit that we don't have it all together. And we need to ask the Holy Spirit to show us. To show us the truth about us. To show us the truth about God. And you know what? When he does that, because he will do that, I'm really convinced of it, we need to say yes. Now, I don't know about you, but I love sweet treats. I really do. But can you imagine standing before an enormous banquet of food, a huge banquet of delicious food, and there you are, everyone's reaching for the cupcakes and the pastries, and you're standing there with a stick of celery. That's crazy. Or imagine being on boiling hot sand and your feet are so hot that they're blistering. You're going, oh, and it's painful and it's hard. But you're standing right next to a crystal clear lake. But you're not stepping into it. You're just standing there. It's cuckoo. But you know what? People still stand in front of everything that God wants to give them. Everything that he offers us. And say, no, no, I want to be the boss. That's the craziest thing of all to me. I don't know everything, I really don't, but I have a feeling that somehow this morning, for some of us it might be our first day to say yes instead. The first day to take the crown off our own head and put it on God's and say, I need you. I need help. I want you to be the king instead of me. I need forgiveness. I need a fresh start. I need to live the way I was made to live. I really think it's time to go to that banquet and eat up everyone. Step into the water and go, feel the relief. God wants us to know him in a way that changes us from the inside out. We're going to have another song now, but I'm going to pray first. And if you want to, if you feel that sense that maybe the Holy Spirit is showing you and giving you a little flutter in your heart, that maybe it's time for you to respond and say yes, then I want you to maybe pray along in your head with me as I pray. After the song, I'm going to sit down here. And if you want to have a chat about you having prayed that prayer or you want to find out more, then I really would be loving to talk to you. And so would Andrew or Paul or anybody that you trust who you know has met Jesus themselves. There's also, if you do want to find out a bit more about the decision you're making, then there's books over in our bookshop. And these are just the same price as you'd get them in the bookshop, but they are fantastic ways to understand what Jesus did and who he is. But remember, God wants our head and our hearts. Can I just say, as I close and pray, as someone who has had their life changed by Jesus, it's really worth it. He's worth it. Let me encourage you to join with me as I pray. Lord Jesus, this world is not the way it's meant to be. I'm not the person that you made me to be. I've made a lot of mistakes. I've sinned. That is, I've done things that you never wanted for me. Thank you that you love me the way that I am. But thank you that you love me too much just to leave me in all this mess and sin. Thank you for taking my place on that cross, for dying to take that punishment that I deserved, for forgiving me, for giving me your Holy Spirit to show me the truth, for giving me hope and peace and life forever. Lord, I'm ready to stop trying to be my own boss. I'm ready to stop being the king. I want you to be my king. I want you to show me what it means to live the way you made me to in the beginning. Thank you, Lord. Amen.